Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. Here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on WPER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we have Eddie and Kamai of the Frère Jean-Baptiste Foundation. They are hosting an event in the area that is going to help with suicide prevention. And that's the mission that they work towards. It's, fighting suicide. You know, it's that area of suicide prevention, as well as raising awareness for suicide and mental health issues. So without further ado, Eddie and Kamai, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic, Josh. Fantastic.
So Frère Jean-Baptiste Foundation, what is it that you all do? And then we'll kind of go into how you all kind of came about starting it.
Frère Jean-Baptiste is a foundation that deals with suicide prevention and mental health. It is designed to address the issue of suicide in the Fredericksburg and surrounding areas. And it doesn't really have an age range. So we try to reach out to all segments of the age groups to let them know that what we do is we provide free counseling, we provide workshops, and we also have a bicycle rental shop downtown Fredericksburg that we are currently in the process of renovating. And we are, all the proceeds from the bike rentals, 100% of proceeds from the bike rentals go back into the foundation, which is providing services for the community that are struggling with suicide.
Okay. So now, how did you guys come to start this ministry?
Okay. We start from Haiti, after the earthquake. We started, like, because my brother was helping, you know, the young kids. The parents cannot afford them back to school. And he used to go to the people's house, to the parents' house, to help with the kids. And after that, I don't know, he found a little place, like very small. I have pictures and everything. Very small, stuff like that. And we started sending money, you know, just build like little bench, little blackboard and stuff. And one day I showed Eddie the pictures. Eddie said, well, you know, we can do better than that. We can help them, you know, find a way to help. We stopped sending $100. You know, when over there in Haiti, that's a lot, $100. And we stopped doing that every week. Every other week, we stopped sending money. And he stopped building the school. And I have two brothers. One is engineer and the one IT. And they stopped building the school by themselves with their hands and find some friends and help. And we stopped like that. And they have like a regular school now. And we figured out, well, we can do something here too. If we can do that over there while we're here, why not here? Find something else to help people. And that's when we start.
Yeah.
Could I add one thing?
Yeah.
Last year, we actually...
That's not from last year. About 5 years ago.
No, but last year we was able for the first time to send computers,
We did.
Generators, food, clothing, and we actually did it ourselves. We actually drove down to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in our van, loaded it up and took it directly to the pier and put it on the ship ourselves to make sure it got there. And we sent them all kinds of goods and stuff like that to help with the feed the kids and stuff like that. So we realized that, yeah, we can do this.
Notebooks, pencil.
Pencil, book bags, lab. We sent so many things that that a lot of kids over here throw away and take for granted.
Yeah.
And so we decided, hey, look, let's find a way to get this stuff over to these young people. And so from that point on last year, we were like, okay, we're on a serious mission to try to spread the love, not just in Haiti, but all everywhere. We all are ambassadors. For those who say they are Christian and Christ-like, we are ambassadors. And our ambassadorship extends wherever we go.
Yeah.
We didn't get any of everything we've done up to this point, for as a foundation is concerned, we have done it out of our own pockets. We raise the funds ourselves, and I have a commercial power washing and new construction cleanup company. So we use the funds to build the get the foundation started, to do a lot of the advertisement, to purchasing the stuff that we need for the bike shop, and also doing the stuff as far as trying to reach out to the community to get them to know that we were there and we were available for them. We certainly want to continue out the ministry and what we're doing right now because, like I said, we are doing this all on our own. We don't have any, you know, we got some sponsorship now. We're hoping to get more in the future. And that's one of our biggest mountains we're trying to climb right now is to build sponsorship.
Okay. So one thing that from talking with you all before the show that I thought was really cool was your backgrounds. You said you are a social worker in the prison system in Culpeper.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what you said you were.
Okay, residential specialist, but a child care counselor.
Okay.
Residential specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with respect to, because, you know, how what jobs you guys, and your backgrounds and things like that, where have you seen the biggest need for a suicide prevention ministry?
If you're saying what segment of society or location, we see it a lot in the public schools right now. The public schools in this area are struggling with suicide attempts and also with just handling the issue of young people who are talking about this issue. We also see it a lot in the opiate use, drug use. A lot of kids who are ODing on bad drugs and stuff like that. We have a lot of transit people who are very transit. A lot of the military. We have a lot of guys in military coming back who are definitely going through a lot of changes that need support and readjusting, and a lot of times they feel traumatized and forgotten, and they have nothing else to live for. So that increases the desire to want to take their own lives because they feel like they have nothing to live for. The people have forgotten about them or the sacrifices they have made.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you had said before this was, you know, a lot of suicide and mental health, you know, prevention and awareness is really just, you know, having that conversation.
It is. It is. A lot of what people don't understand is a lot of suicides or attempted suicide or depression or mental illness come from just not being able to tell somebody what you feel. There's a lot of shame in feeling that way. A lot of people feel embarrassed. We've had situations where people was, you know, had bad situations in their past where it came to some form of physical contact that was negative from somebody, and they didn't tell anybody for years until they were adults, and it affected their attitude because they couldn't tell anybody. But the fact is, a lot of mental illness is because people don't have a voice. They're afraid to say what they feel in an environment where they're going to feel not judged. Because a lot of times people internalize what happened to them as their own fault. So a lot of people won't talk about it. And what people intend to do is that they bury it under the layers of different things. So that's why it's so important, and when you're dealing with these type of issues, to get people to talk. Because what talking does, it peels off layers of all this stuff that has been buried in your subconscious. Because the way suicide works is that people bury stuff so deep in their subconscious that it starts to motivating their character, and they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. So when they talk about it, they realize that, hey, I can see why I'm doing this. But if they never talk, nobody ever communicate with them, they keep it inside themselves and it festers. It's like cancer, like anything else, like a pressure cooker. You know, you got a pressure cooker. If you don't release that pressure, it'll blow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, human beings are just like that. If they don't have a way of venting, then they blow. And that blow means that they just have a total meltdown because it's so much they want to say, so much has happened to them, they can't tell anybody. And so the key to helping people who are thinking along that level is to get them to talking and communicating about their, not the surface issues, but the stuff below the surface. That's mm-hmm. what helped them to realize, hey, I can get through this because it's all one day at a time. And if you survive this day, then you can get through the next day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you say all that, too, because, you know, it's it's that principle of, you know, we think at 1,000 words per minute. And, you know, if we're internalizing all those feelings, that's 1,000 different negative feelings yeah. all within a minute.
Very, very, very true. And see, that's what happens about people, is that people are they need to have a communication with other people. We have, look at it like this. We got thousands and millions of people in around us. Why are there so many lonely people? You think about that, right? We have many of people in our jobs and our social groups. But when people go to their homes and leave their jobs, a lot of times it's just that they are alone and they feel alone. And that's because they don't have anyone to talk to. They don't, they don't communicate with anybody. Because if you go out to work one day and something happens to you to change your mindset, and say, for instance, you leave work and you go out and something drastic happens to you on your job that changed your entire psychic, your type of personality. When you come home to your significant other, you have this attitude. And the first thing to come out that individual mind, what did I do to you? You've done nothing. But if you don't bother to tell that person what has happened to you during that day, they internalize it as I did something to you. But if you tell that person, they say, oh, well, I see why you have this attitude. See, so people need to know that the power of the spoken word, it is incredible. You know, because when you speak things into the universe, people see and feel you a different way. But the same way you speak things into the universe, you can internalize that stuff. And it work festers from the inside out. And just like anything else, we break down.
Yeah.
We break down. And just like a car, we'll break down. So we need to be able to release that pressure. And the way to do that is verbal communication. Yeah. Verbal communication is a very powerful thing in dealing with suicide prevention and mental health.
Yeah.
It really is.
And part of dealing with suicide prevention and mental health and having those conversations is raising awareness in the community for this issue, which is one of the reasons why you guys are here. So you guys are doing a big bike ride event to help prevent suicide or prevent suicide awareness, to help aid in suicide awareness. So I lost all of my words. You guys are doing a big bike ride event to help aid in suicide prevention awareness. Yeah. There we go.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is the first time in Fredericksburg history they have done this. And what we're going to do is that we're going to have a bike ride along the canal at Old Mill Park on the 19th of this month to raise awareness of suicide prevention and mental health. We're going to start at 6 o'clock, and we're going to go to maybe midnight, and what we ask
PM.
PM, yeah. Ask the people to come out and support us by coming out, bringing their bikes. We're going to have bikes there for people who don't have bikes.
About 30?
Yeah, we have about 30 of our own bikes there, be there for those who don't have bikes. And what it does is that we want to get people to know that this is something that we want the whole community to participate in. We want the whole community to come out and support this because, like I said, this issue, so it affects everybody straight across the board. It doesn't care about income or anything else or where you live. This doesn't care. So we want to get everybody together. Know this is a family event. It's for everybody. And we want to ride the canal. And we're going to have the canal lit up. We're going to have flaggers. We're going to have bikers. We're going to have hopefully vendors, food. Entertainment. We're going to have a DJ, and we want to give a shout out to Hildred Properties because they're going to let us use their studio, their portable stage. And so we'll have that presence. But the most important thing is that we want people to know that this is open to everyone, regardless of your health conditions or where you're coming from. We want you to know that you're all invited to come down, participate in a serious matter, but in a fun effort. Because, like I say, we want everybody to know that we're reaching out to the community, and we want to make this thing a success.
Yeah. And I'd like to talk a little bit about something you had just mentioned about how it doesn't, you know, care what your income is or what your situation is. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that a lot of the time, especially with mental illness. You know, you hear all the time, well, how are you depressed? You've got everything. And it's,
yes,
that's not exactly how it works.
No. I think people fail to understand sometimes what a person shows on the exterior of their surface is not what's going on underneath. And like I say, mental illness doesn't care. It doesn't care. And a lot of times, people who do have these issues don't realize there's something going on until you start to talk to them. I've had several situations where I've just met people on the street and we started to talk and have a conversation about this particular issue. And they'll say, my son killed himself and he lived with me and I missed the whole, my point is this, people internalize it as something they failed on if they don't catch this, they don't see all the signs. And a lot of these signs are very silent. They're very quiet. A lot of people don't exhibit any signs of mental instability or suicide thought process. But the most important thing that we need to understand is that the way we address is by get people talking. Get them to talking, because you can be a stranger living in the same house with someone if you don't talk, if you don't communicate. That's how we stay together. That's how we know what each other's thinking, what we're feeling, and what we're going through. But we don't communicate what we're going through. We become strangers. And it can be your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. It doesn't matter. If we don't, your kids, particularly our kids, because our kids think we don't have the slightest idea what they're going through.
Yeah.
Our kids, they tell you quick, oh, mom, dad, you don't understand. You don't get it. You you ain't a millennial baby. Yeah, but sure, I'm not a millennial baby. But ain't nothing new under the sun. We all went through something and being a teenager. It was never easy to be a teenager. Of course, we understand that. But yes, we need to get our families and friends and in particular our young people talking, because they're the ones who are going to have to carry this load or whatever society has dumped on them. They're the ones going to have to fix this world when we're long gone. So we need to deal with the younger community, let them know, hey, listen, we hear you, we see you, and we're addressing your issues. Which is, a lot of times young people feel ostracized. They feel like nobody gets them. It's like, they're like, I'm an alien. No, you're not, really. we felt the same thing. When I was a teenager, I felt just what you feel. I just didn't have the computers and cell phones,
iPhones.
But iPhones and all this, but we dealt with the same emotions that you're dealing with. So yes, we do get it more than they think we do. But because we're not communicating, they treat us like if we're from another planet sometimes. They treat us like we're talking a different language. And that's when they'll start saying, well, you know what? Whatever I'm going through right now, I'm going to keep it to myself. We have situations where kids that come in the house and for an entire week and they don't talk to their kids. The family, father, mother don't even talk to their kids. They don't even see them. They come in the house, go upstairs in the room, eat, come back down, go back up, and then they're on the computer. But what's happening here? You're living with a bunch of strangers. A bunch of strangers who are related to each other live in the same house, but because of lack of communication, you don't know what your son and daughter's up there doing on that computer. You don't know what the stuff being put into their heads. But if we sit down and say, listen, can we talk? Can we just, nothing particular, but can we communicate with each other, which humans are supposed to do? So we need to address the issue that we have to stop living with strangers in our own homes and our jobs. We have to start communicating. That's where the power is. That's where the power of healing starts. It's saying, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Or somebody said something to me to hurt me. Or somebody did something to me to hurt me. Because when people are hurting, they intend to hide their pain.
Yeah.
And it's an embarrassment if they figure it was my fault that I got hurt.
Yeah.
And so they won't tell anybody. But when people are hurting, and all they want to do is out. They don't want to deal with the pain no more. When they're hurt, they want relief from that pain. And a lot of us, that's when they start thinking of suicide and all this other stuff, because they can't deal with being in the moment anymore, which is a moment of pain. But they don't know that sometime that moment is going to pass. But when they're in that moment, they're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about yesterday. They're caught in this moment. And that moment is where they are in that pain. And that's when they say, I can't take it no more. It's easier to do this than to go to school tomorrow and somebody tell me I look like a freak. It's easy to go to school and someone tells me I'm something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out now and sort of deal with tomorrow. But if we understand that if we create a line of communication straight across the board, then we can address a lot of these issues and save a lot of lives.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that my wife and I do, what we try to make sure we do each week, is like a marriage devotional.
Oh,
and it's
yes.
interesting how yes. a lot of what, you know, like there's always that one chapter that says like, well, does your spouse know that you love them? Have you told them recently?
There you go.
And it's very much like that where, yes. you just assume, oh, well, of course my kids know I love them. Yeah. I'm their yeah. parent. That's obviously what a
That's
parent
true.
Does.
Yeah.
But,
it doesn't
you
work
know,
like
beneath
that.
The surface, you really don't know unless you're telling them.
Yeah.
And that's true. That's such a powerful thing you just said, because we take it for granted that people know what we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we don't reiterate that, we think, oh, I told him I loved him 2 years ago. I told my wife I loved him 2 years ago on that date. Remember? I was on that date and I told you I love you. That was 2 years ago. But we need to reiterate our love for each other, our affection for each other. And because if we do that, because that's what gives, when people know that you care about them, they really know that gives them a moment out to think. That gives them that break. When they know somebody else cares yeah. about them, that's when it really hits the fan. If they think that if I do this, this is going to really hurt my parents, this is going to really hurt the people that they that I love, that's going to give them a moment to come back from that moment of insanity. That means by they seeing the value in the relationship that they have with someone else, it's value enough to try to save it by not doing something that they know that they're going to leave this person in pain if they go. One of the biggest issues we deal with in suicide prevention is the people who are left behind. You see, because when people commit suicide, there's always somebody left behind to deal with that. And they internalize it as they somehow or another as their own guilt or their own failure. Now they have to have help to cope with the fact that somebody they were associated with took their lives and they didn't catch the signs. You know, like, you know, when somebody, a mass shooting takes place in public schools or a kid kills himself in something crazy, that's why they have counselors in public schools. Because of all these kids walking up and down these halls every day, never spoke to that student. They sit in that same classroom in a chair next to him. They never say, hi, how you doing? What's your name? But when that person goes out, do something reckless, then they all, oh my God, well, why didn't I say something? Why did I try to befriend that person? What, you know, and then now they're left to cope with that suffering or agony of not catching those signs or the guilt of not interacting with the person, like we said earlier, just talking to them, verbal communication. And that's all a lot of people want. That's yeah. all people want to know. And a lot of times I'm not invisible.
Yeah.
Do you see me? You know, one of the things I do, and it's a common thing, when someone's coming in a store, I hold the door for them. And you can see the, you know, people just don't expect you to hold the door for them. And you, that little kind gesture of holding the door for somebody, you say a lot. You say, I see you, I acknowledge you, you exist, and you're real. But to treat people as though they're invisible, they want to be invisible. And the best way to be invisible is to be a ghost. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Be a ghost. That means if I'm not here, I'm totally invisible. And that's what people understand. Little kind gestures like that go a long way. Just by saying somebody, I see you, hello, speaking to a stranger. These type of things are verbal communication that allows people a moment out of their madness, because we're all going through something. You know, we all got our own, demons to deal with. But when we're alone and we don't have no one to reach out to, we begin to get real frightened. So one of the things that we want to let people know that, you know, communication is one of the biggest weapons we have right now in our arsenal dealing with suicide prevention and mental health.
Yeah. So what are some ways that our listeners can get involved with you all, whether it's through volunteering, donating, bike ride coming up, or any other events that you guys do throughout the year?
Well, one of the things we're looking for definitely donations,
bikes.
We're looking for volunteers. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm looking for bike mechanics. Anybody know how to fix a bike out there? Bike mechanics, volunteers. We're definitely in need of people that knows a little bit about carpentry. We got to put bathrooms in. We got a lot of stuff we tried to do. But we're reaching out in every aspect of the community and asking for help in a lot of different ways. And monetary is great. But we definitely need volunteers. We need people help with our workshops who are good. I'm reaching out to some of the bike clubs. I want to reach out to all of the bike clubs in Fredericksburg and around an area to come down and to share their expertise with the students and perhaps even to participate in bike rides. Well, this one bike ride that we're giving now on the 19th of this month, this is going to be an annual thing. We want to let people know this is not a one-off type thing. We're going to do this every year that we can do it. But we definitely want people to come out and participate and just basically volunteer to help get the shop together and to help with the kids when they start coming in. And we want people who are adamant riders to come out on the night of the 19th and participate because these are the professional riders, you know. They got the really cool bikes and stuff. Yeah.
That's
really
helmet.
Cool. Oh, yeah. The lights. Yeah, the helmets and lights. So we're definitely looking for helmets and lights. Anything that people have they want to donate towards making this a successful and a successful event and a very happy event. We want this to be a good time for everybody. We want it to be a happy time. So we're definitely looking for support in any way possible. And our website is up. And you can go to the website. You can go to Facebook. You can reach out to us in any way in all those avenues and let us know you're out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got one last question for you guys, and it can be one that both of you answer, just one of you answer either one.
I'm going to let her answer.
No.
I'm going to let her answer.
So with everything that you guys do, why does this ministry mean so much to you all?
For me, I had 18 brothers and sisters. It's personal for me, and I've lost. There's only five of us left. Mm. I lost most of my siblings to this type of disease.
Oh, wow.
So it hits home with me personally. I buried my two youngest brothers 2 years ago. And they've done the same thing. And so it is very dear to my heart. It's not just a whim with me. And I know that God is such a big factor in all of this because he's kept us through so much and he's given us a vision to do this. And he has blessed us in so many ways by connecting us with the right people to make this a reality because we just prayed. We didn't have no money. We didn't have no support. We sit down. We said we need to do something. And this message goes out to everybody who's in an earshot of what I'm about to say. And I mean this from my soul. One person can make a difference. When people tell you that it's too large or too big. No, we walk by faith and not by sight. And God always said, if he stand with us, who can stand against us? And everything that I do is motivated from the fact that the Lord has allowed me to live as long as I have, and his grace have given me the strength and the vision to do this. And the way people know that Christ is alive and well in the world is our deeds, is what we do to our fellow man. God lives in us. So therefore, the world will know who we are and who we represent by the way we treat each other. And we put God and Christ first in all things. And when we do that, people will know that, hey, when we get to glory, when we get to the final stage, we stand before God, we all want to hear a job well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to know we've done the best and ran this race the best we could. So it is very dear to my heart that what I'm doing is a passion of love, and it's my way of letting people know that Christ is my center point. Christ is everything that motivates me and keeps me going every day. That's where my strength comes from.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you
for
having
Josh.
Us. You know, this has been fun. This is so exciting.
Well, you can go to fjbf-bikerentals.com, find out all about how you can get involved, see the upcoming event, see if that's something that you would like to be a part of. You know, what they're doing is really important for the community. You know, I feel like we don't talk about mental illness as much. You know, and the things leading up to suicide. And it's, you know, just like they said, it's really not picky. You know, you could be the happiest person in the world, and it could still get, you know, it could still be a situation you find yourself in. So, you know, it's definitely a situation where, you know, you definitely want to be praying for those who are experiencing and going through these types of things, but also to raise awareness for that so that people aren't caught off guard and we don't have those moments where we say, hey, how come nobody noticed? So definitely go online and check them out and find out all about how you can get involved. Well, I want to thank everybody again for tuning into Community Matters on WPER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@wper.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, @wper.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go to wper.org. It'll be at the top of the menu bar. It'll say Resources. You just hover over that, click Community Matters. It'll be the first show to appear. And I'll also include the link for their website there. You can also re-listen to the show, catch up on the parts that you may have missed. Also, you can also check out all the other shows that we've done as well. So go online and find out all you can. Well, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in to Community Matters, and I hope everyone has a good and safe rest of their weekend, and stay safe on the roads.